CNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We might have a bit of a technical situation here, so...
Call engineering!
Right before...
They're on a meeting!
Right before we went on air, the speakers in here went crazy loud. And of course, it was a Bobby commercial, and I was like... And so Corey went up...
He's already loud anyway.
And he turned off the speakers.
I pulled the wires out.
Oh my gosh. And now we can't hear Alec. So I don't know if we're doing this the right way.
Alec, what happened?
I have no idea.
It just like out of nowhere, it just went. And you could see what's crazy, Kevin. Did you look at the speaker? There was some light glowing every time the words were said.
Oh,
because
no.
It's like, it's too loud, I'm going to explode. And it tried to. And so I ripped it out of the wall, and I was like, you shut up. You get. And it did. And Kevin, that's how we start our show today.
Was that the right thing to do? Just rip the wires out of the...
Probably. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I thought they were like, you know, the back in the day, you had the VCR, and it had the red, white, and yellow cords that you would plug in. I thought that was it. When I reached up there, I was like, okay, two cords. Those are the aux cords. And I went and pulled them out, and they're just two cable, like a copper or a set, like... wires, and so I ripped up something. So good luck to engineering, and we really appreciate all they do. And I know they're in a meeting today, so we have no clue when we'll be able to get that fixed, but it's okay. The Rangers won, and football seat cuts are underway, baby.
All right. But as has frequently been the case with the Rangers, best case scenario, you get a net neutral once again, and that is really pushing it on this one. Go ahead and give me cut number 7. This is not actually a highlight from the game last night. This is something different, and when you hear it, I think you'll understand why.
The 1-2. Swing and a miss. Strikeout on the splitter. He ties a season high. 7 innings for Nathan Eovaldi.
And now he is done for the regular season. And depending on who you listen to, he could be ready in the playoffs at some point, or basically if you make the World Series.
Well, are you going to ask Bochy that specifically?
Yes.
My question to him is like.
And he's coming up today at 12:30.
The competitor that Eovaldi is. Does he seem sad that he can't finish out the season and try and make a run for Cy Young, which would have been, again, the first one for this team? Does he even think about that? Is that even on Eovaldi's radar? He's like, no, I just go out and pitch ball. Like, that's what I do. I talk ball and pitch ball. These are the two things that I'm good at. And I don't, the awards, they come, they go. I don't have no clue what his... like what his life goals are. So
I mean, it just stands to, yeah, and you might be right. He might be like, I just care about the season, but it stands to reason, right, that he would want to win a Cy Young. Maybe I have misread the vibe of Nathan Eovaldi, and I'm sure he is team first, but it just feels logical that would be of interest to him as well. So that just feels like just a really crushing blow, because the one thing that we've all kind of been telling ourselves, and maybe
at least
not,
we have Nate.
Yeah, well, and not just that, but like all we got to do, Alec, is make the playoffs. And if we make the playoffs, man, we got the rotation set for it and everything like that. And that's how I convinced myself to keep on going for a team that obviously has been mediocre throughout the year.
That's a good point. I'm of the belief. And maybe that's just me being a naive believer here, that he will be. Like, if they were to make the playoffs, he'll be like, all right, I'm back, guys. Let me put that cape back on for you. I couldn't make it through the rest of this season doing that, but guess what? That strain is gone now. That's where I am.
I hope that is right. By the way, for the 817, I saw Alec on the Jumbotron at the game last night.
That's right.
Alec, can you continue to go to games so we can keep winning, but hopefully not lose players along the way?
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, I kind of called it, too, that Patrick Corbin was going to have a random gem of a game.
And he was spectacular.
Yeah, because our friend Jacob Ray was like, oh, Patrick Corbin, you know, would have been cool to see Nasty Nate or something. I was like, dude, he's going to go out there and shove. Watch, because he just wakes up on random starts and says, you know what? I'm going to be dominant today.
Right.
For no good reason. And that is exactly what happened yesterday. So we can make that happen.
Okay.
Dude, that was so much fun to watch last night, dude.
Yes.
The way he was pitching, just the dominance that he was rolling with. But then, Kevin, as you said, as you were talking about, you know, give and take, and the ninth inning comes around, and you're like, what are we doing, guys? Why are we? Don't do this to me, please.
Look.
And then they said, no, we got it. We were just trying to.
You're right. But at least this is one of the rare, rare games this season where you had some room to play around with. Those have been hard to come by this year. It feels like usually this would be a game where you were ahead 2-0 and you ended up losing 3-2. And you're like, what in the actual hell is happening? But luckily, you were ahead 7-0. It didn't end up mattering. But you go back to the last like group of four wins. So you've taken 4 or 5 going back to the series sweep, and then you lost the opener against the Angels, win this one. You've won 4 or 5, and that part is great. But in the process, you've lost Marcus Semien and Nathan Eovaldi for the rest of the season. That feels like a net negative now.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I'm really glad that the Rangers keep winning games, but who is going to be left at this point?
Are you? That sounds like you're thinking that somebody is next. And Kevin,
I hope not.
You can't think that way. Corey Seager just hit a massive bomb last night. That couldn't. No. Nope. You know what, Kevin? Everybody's going to get healthy, is what I believe.
Okay.
They're all going to get healthy. Nobody else is going to end up on this list.
Well, look, that would be great if now the Rangers hit their stride in the last, wait, like 28 games.
They're like, that's all we were waiting for, guys.
All those people were healthy at the end of the regular season, and we'll look back at this, and once again, I'll just give up on my concept of how much the regular season matters going into the baseball playoffs, this time for good. But I just don't know if there is any logical reason to believe any of
that. There's not a logical reason. Not a logical reason.
Okay.
Because logic and dreams and believing, like, none of that's logical. You have to believe based on facts, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Like, you can believe based on a story that just connects with you. But facts definitely help the argument. And that's, Kevin, for you, that's definitely one of the factors you need. You need hardcore information. And me, I already waved the white flag, so I'm still just hoping. Right now, the best for everybody. Every time they win, I want to jump back in, but I'm like, you know what? I committed. I'm going to stick to it.
Every time we link you up with the dude from CW33, you guys talk about like leading with your heart and everything. And I'm just like, come on.
I know I want to get back to it, but logic told me the season was over.
Now, on the Cowboys front, this is another big day for the Cowboys. And then we can talk about the roller coaster that is Perrion Winfrey and taking responsibility for things that you reported.
I think he's talking about Calvin Watkins.
Yesterday, Calvin Watkins said that Perrion Winfrey was off the team.
And we all
lost. Yeah, we were
mad. Remember Broaddus?
Yes.
He punched somebody in here.
I know. What? But Alec probably deserved it for the egg thing. Now, Calvin put out a story, and then he also put out a tweet that said, change! Perrion Winfrey is on the team, but nothing actually changed. He just reported it wrong because his source, which clearly feels like it was Perrion Winfrey's agent. I don't know if he specifically said that or not, but it clearly was. Perrion Winfrey misunderstood the conversation that was about to happen with the Cowboys. Hence, it feels logical that he told his agent and his agent told Calvin Watkins. And that's what Calvin Watkins said. And then Calvin Watkins wrote a story, and he does great with this, and he's usually all over this. But I love in the story, he said there was a lot of confusion because, and the next sentence wasn't, I tweeted out that he had been cut. He said
that's where the confusion was.
That's what the confusion was.
Nobody else was confused until that moment.
Yeah. He said there was confusion with the agent and Perrion Winfrey. And I was like, yeah, but we would have known any of that until you reported it incorrectly. And I just kind of wish he would have been like, they misunderstood and told me and I misreported it. And if he did do that, I apologize. I haven't seen it.
The basic understanding of how this works is they don't put a little red thing in your locker like they used to in Major League all the time, which Mike said they actually never did. They don't do that. they have what is known as the Turk come by and say, hey, coach needs to talk to you.
Bring your playbook.
That's yes. And that's a sign that you're done. All right. Usually that's a sign that you're cut. So what happens is you go, oh, crap. Go grab your phone real quick. Text your agent. I think I'm about to get cut. And then you go do your thing. Well, I think you're right, Kevin. In that scenario, he was asked to go see coach. He went and told his agent. And then he goes and he gets in the room and Shoddy's trying to play it off, as he said. And then he throws
down. He said it was an a-hole move. And I was like, yeah.
And then he throws down the hey, you made it. This is the last chance kind of thing. Like, we really love you and everything. And I love that line that he said, because Nick Harris asked another question about the, I put my life on the line, my body on the line for this right. team. I care for this team. And I love hearing Schottenheimer saying, you know, that's the kind of player I want, you know. Now, because my son Carter got in the car when he was talking about that. This game's the most fun game on the planet. These are the types of things, the environment you want to be in. And Carter hearing that, he was like, I do love this game of football, Dad. And I was like, see, that's what I love too.
So today is another big day. Obviously, you should always stay locked in and listen to the G-Bag Nation. I feel like we're pretty consistent about that. But today is another great example. So here are the two things, because we've talked about the steps and the mechanisms along the way. Here are the next two spots for that today. The waiver wire process will close at 11 a.m. So we're, 46 minutes and a few seconds away from that happening. And that can essentially be a second draft, I believe, is the way Shoddy described it. And you can see all the different players who have been waived, and you get in line, and that's, reverse based on your record from last year. But this is the opportunity to pick up some more players, depending on where your waiver claim is and everything like that.
I believe Cowboys are 14. Is that where
that
they are?
That sounds right. So keep it.
Middle of the pack.
Hey, what do you know? So that seems like something where you could see more personnel movement. But here's the other one to keep an eye on today. At 3:00, teams can now add additional players to the injured reserve with a designation to return. Because remember, we talked about it yesterday, Mingo and Peyton Turner being on that initial injured reserve list, because you could only use it twice going into the cutdown yesterday at 3:00. Now, today, as of 3:00, that window changes and you can add two more players with the ability to return. And so I assume Phil Maffa is going to join that list. I don't know who else, but you have the potential to do that, which then could feed into your ability to make those waiver claims or pick up those players. But just keep an eye out on that as well.
Okay. Then that's the place. That's where they're going to build this team, Kevin.
Hopefully, for the future. Hopefully they've built most of what they feel good about the team.
Does it not feel weird? Because that is, Schottenheimer, one of the first things he said yesterday was that they got to be honest with them, tell them the truth. Don't want to BS them about the conversation. But whenever you have a guy that you're like, we really want you to stick around. Look, we understand this is a business and yes. you have to want to, you yes. know, be here, but here's how we're going to play this game. Doesn't that feel like tampering a little bit? If you kind of suggest to them, can you suggest to them? Hey,
yeah.
we're going to put you on this. It's just going to, we That's, need you to pass through yes. here, fingers crossed.
That is 100%.
But it's happening all over the league.
Yeah, no, for sure. That is 100% what the Cowboys have done with CJ for the past several years. And I think I said, I meant they had two injured reserves already.
Right.
There are more going forward. You're able to add more than two going forward. So just keep an eye on that. They have done that with CJ in the past. It's not collusion if you're in agreement with the player. So collusion happens when the people with the power and the money work among each other mm-hmm. to screw over another entity, obviously, like the players. If you're in agreement with the players, that's fine.
Part
that's
of the
just
game.
Business.
Interesting, man. It's fascinating how these backsliding doors and loopholes are available.
Sure.
And they know them all and they're playing with them.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's smart. I will say, I think that the Cowboys usually do a pretty good job with this. I will admit, I don't look at the mechanisms by which a lot of these other teams handle their business and slide people in and out anywhere near the same as the Cowboys. But I feel like the Cowboys usually do a pretty good job of this. So while you got the initial 53 yesterday, as soon as 3 o'clock today, you are going to start to see some churning happening with that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider from DallasCowboys.com, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. What be shaking?
Well, I will admit, some of us overreacted out of anger when we thought Perrion Winfrey wasn't going to make the team.
All of us, yeah.
Did that like get reported or suggested?
Yes. It got reported by
a reporter.
Yeah, it got reported by a reporter who misunderstood via Perrion Winfrey and his agent what was actually going on. And then I saw somebody float out the idea of how many cut day outrages have actually turned out to be really good players. And that's a fair point. It just felt like, I don't know, whether it's Winfrey or somebody like James Houston, I really appreciate the people who, it didn't really feel like there was a spot for them then, but by God, they like worked their ass off in training camp and they made a spot for themselves.
Yeah,
you know?
And I bet what happened with Winfrey is when he was told that Coach Schottenheimer wants to talk to you.
Right. Yes.
That his agent, he probably called his agent, and they all just assumed that he was getting cut. Right?
Agreed.
And then they played it like he was getting cut until they told them that's why you're on the team. So it was actually a pretty good story. You know, Schottenheimer, I swear to God, he wins every press conference.
Yep, that's true.
He's a very personable fellow.
And it's entertaining. Now, hopefully, it'll be entertaining when he's coaching in a game, right?
Yeah. But people will turn on the friendliness really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Really
it's like, okay, fine. But, yeah, can you win a game for me? You guys were on Houston. I kind of felt Winfrey had played well enough in practices to potentially make it. So,
yeah.
So both guys make it, at least now, and we'll see what happens going forward.
Now, I'm really glad that you said that because that transitions into the next part with the waiver wire going, with the expansion of the injured reserve, with the opportunity to return. Yesterday was just phase one of a big phase, but phase one of crafting this roster, right?
Yeah. I always like to say, to especially some of the young guys, don't rush out and buy a house. Because, you know, this thing's not over with until the end of the week. And they're going to keep an eye on, you know, he basically pointed out, you know, we'll take a look at whatever available quarterbacks out there to see if someone fits what we're looking for. Now that there's just two guys on the roster, but I assume they're going to try and get Will Grier on the practice squad. And that'll start happening, in a couple hours here?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing with some of these guys that got released, meaning they're vested, if those guys are on the roster the first game of the season, their contract's guaranteed. Remember that.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're not only looking at who you're releasing and keeping from a playing standpoint, but also a salary cap standpoint. So some of those guys, it's like, okay, we're going to let you go. We'll put you on the practice squad, and then the second game we'll re-sign you, things like that. So there's a lot of moving parts. They've got two guys that after they clear 24 hours or however many hours they got to be on the roster, they'll put them on injured reserve return. And I think that's going to apply to Kalen Carson along with Phil Maffa.
Yeah.
So those guys will have to sit out four games, and then they'll bring back two other guys. One for sure will be C.J. Goodwin, and then we'll see where they go with the other one. The one guy that I looked at was Keeman Hall.
I was surprised by that a little bit.
He's a fifth-year guy, though. So, you know, he would be, you know, guaranteed his contract regardless how long he stayed. The other thing, you know, you've got to figure, and he could very well be a practice squad guy. Because, and you got three elevations, right?
Yeah.
If you need to go that way with the practice squad, that at some point Carson's going to return. Revel will, you know, probably get on the roster at some point. And if they need another corner, if they think Diggs is not ready to take on a full load in the game, then you can elevate somebody off the practice squad to help out from a number standpoint. So, yeah, this whole thing is not solidified by any means just yet.
Was special teams the difference for Ryan Flannoy?
It sure sounded like it.
Yeah.
His ability, although Jalen Brooks was a pretty good special teams player.
Yeah, he was.
And, you know, and he's another guy that they could, you know, if in that other spot they could bring back and put on the roster, because what, the wide receivers are down to five?
Yeah.
You know, and then the thinking is in four games, Mingo will be ready to come back, so that's six. So, yeah, I think there's still a little bit of movement going on. I don't know if you guys saw any quarterbacks that caught your eye and said, well, maybe, you know, better than Will Greer.
Yeah, we told you yesterday, Tommy DeVito and Mike White.
Mike White was, I think, the only one that kind of caught my eye.
The one that I would have been intrigued by, but good for him, he made the roster, is I would have been curious if Quinn Ewers would have floated back out there, but I don't know how the Cowboys would have felt about having two, like, essentially new-to-football player to the NFL quarterbacks backing up Dak.
And a new one that would have to learn the system.
Too, yes, exactly.
Right? On the run when you're not going to get many snaps in practice. Yeah, I just think it has to be a veteran-type guy.
Probably.
That started games in the league that you would, you know, say, okay. And who knows? I mean, that guy could be signed to the practice squad, too. There's no limit on how many quarterbacks you can carry. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that still have to shake out. I don't know if there was an uproar with Mazi Smith. Everybody, you know, thought he was going to get cut. Here's an interesting thing. And I, you know, Schottenheimer said, hey, I told him this had nothing to do with being a first round pick. But when I thought of this the other day and I looked it up, his salary cap hit for this year is just $3.6 million.
Right.
If you cut him, you're going to inherit $7.8 million in dead money. So it's almost cheaper to keep him than to let him go.
Even if you split the cost. Yeah, you're right about that.
Even if it's, you know, it's going to be $7.8 regardless if it was all this year like a trade or if you split it over 2 years since it's after June 1st, right?
Yeah.
It's still going to cost you.
But you surely, because I fall into this trap all the time because I am a fan of this team, and I realize that is a dangerous combination. Don't you think, or you're probably used to the fan reaction of like frustration for your first round pick. You're supposed to be awesome. I'm not thinking through the financial implications of it. I'm just mad that you're not better straight away. You know?
Yeah. And when was he a first round pick?
That first year?
No. I mean, number
23.
Oh, 20. Yeah.
24, 25, 26 was, I don't remember. It was somewhere in there, right?
Yeah.
So it's a second, he's got a second round grade. Now, if you had a second rounder that you, you know, got all hot and bothered by, you know, you wouldn't probably think as much about it. But because he's drafted in the first round, even though he had a second round grade, and you did draft a little bit about need, right? I wonder what they saw of him at Michigan.
Yeah.
Because he played, right?
Right.
So I'm not sure what happened in the transition. And I thought how Schottenheimer handled it was really good. Like, okay, we've seen flashes. Now you need to be consistent. You can't, you know, make a play here and then get pushed back 5 yards the next two plays. You know, you got to be consistent. And then the other thing is just, if nothing else, you get a 320-pound body to put in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And you know, there's not a lot of those guys going around, and they didn't have many other guys that kind of fit the bill. And even, you know, if Solomon Thomas and Osa are your starters, neither one of them are 300 pounds. So you needed some big bodies in there, if nothing else.
The running back room.
Yes.
Is that, do you think that's the room? Like that's, no. That's how it's
going to. No, Maffa's going to go on injured reserve.
Okay.
So he and.
I guess for like external purposes, do you think that any of those other, like those guys are here, do you think they're looking at anybody else? He said we're open. We're open
well,
for business.
Well, he said they were open at every position,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I just feel like all the work they've done, they feel like they're probably pretty confident with what they have.
I mean, Javonte Williams is your starter, right?
Yeah.
You're going to keep Blue. You're going to keep Hunter Lipke.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I always thought the wild card was Miles Sanders. But, you know, they kind of like, I mean, he's showed up in a couple of practices and his speed, also kind of showed up. So, you know, so you got a rookie, as you're at this point, third, could be second. Cause if you remember when Sanders was out, you know, Blue really stepped up. And he didn't just step up because he was fast. He was running between the tackles with authority. This guy can help him. Now, they just got to make sure he stays healthy. And then Lipke, which they did not show in any of the preseason games, and I hope you know the Cowboys are probably thinking, okay, don't say this because Philadelphia could be listening. They used him in a lot of one-back sets on the nickel offense. And it wasn't just to protect the quarterback. They were using him as a receiver and a running back in those situations. So his versatility might have eliminated somebody else from, you know, being in that room on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, and I think both Corey and I, we go back to the interview we had with Schottenheimer from training camp, and we had asked about like him battling to make a spot, and then Schottenheimer talked about like the 8,000 different things that Lipke could do. And in that moment, we were like, "Oh, okay,
that makes sense.
Did he look at you cross-eyed? Yeah, like, what the hell are you talking about?"
Well, but also like at that point, we were like, "Okay, so he's on the team." Like, I would be shocked now if he got cut. Well, if you hear anything, I know today is still another big moving and shaking day.
Yeah, it is.
Let us know.
I'll keep my ears to the ground.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Will these MLB milestones be reached next on The Fan?
Another 3-2. Fly ball driven. Way back.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Baseball Nuggets in just a second. But first, we go to the Corey News Desk for news.
Keegan Bradley did not call his own name, Kevin, for the United States Ryder Cup team, deciding against becoming the event's first playing captain in 62 years. They did announce the team, though. And I think the reason that I'm mostly excited about this is because it's right there in Frisco. It's right here in our backyard, and like that's something that I always get pretty excited about. Anything that's going on here in DFW is fun. So I'm going to name off the team if you're ready, Kevin. Bradley finished 11th.
I said I wasn't. You didn't ask if I was ready. I was getting ready.
He finished 11th this season, by the way. So he was eligible. He was like, if you haven't been winning, you're not playing.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
Name number one.
I hope it's Keegan Bradley.
Not Keegan Bradley. Justin Thomas.
Oh, we work with him in the newspaper.
That's different, Justin Thomas. This is the golfer. That one was just awesome.
Okay.
Number two on the team, Colin Morikawa.
Okay.
You know him?
I do know him. I'm 2 for 2 in knowing who these people are.
Number 3, Ben Griffin.
I don't know who that is.
I think
is.
He's Peter's son, Meg's brother.
Ben Griffin? Look, I'll,
the family
I,
guy.
I will, a dog? No, I got that part. I will readily admit I'm not a huge golf fan. I thought I could maybe get all of these.
Oh.
I don't know who Ben Griffin is. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I bet Alec will. Cameron Young is also on this list.
I think I've heard of that fella.
And Patrick Cantlay is on there.
Nope.
You don't know Patrick Cantlay? He's good. And Sam Burns. Those are his 6 captains picks for next month's Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black on New York's Long Island.
Do you get jazzed up for the Ryder Cup?
It is one of those things where, yes, Kevin, us against Europe, us against the world. Mm. I love that thing. And it's a fun golf event. Like they seem to be having an intense amount of fun being teammates with each other and competing against each other. Even though they're competing against guys they're friends with too, it adds another element of fun. So I'm excited for it.
Okay, I like it. Thank you very much for the update, and I apologize to any of the golf fans that I've let down along the way. Right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Let's do those baseball nuggets. And I wanted to start with some predictions, projections, things to watch for the rest of the season. If you're concerned about the mounting injuries for the Rangers, don't think they're going to make the playoffs, what else are you going to take a look at? Cal Raleigh. We just played the highlight. This makes a lot of logical sense. He is the second switch hitter ever to get to 50 home runs. He's only behind Ken Griffey Jr. in terms of most home runs ever for the Mariners, first catcher to get to 50. And also the third player in American League history to get to 50 home runs before September. The other two, Aaron Judge and Roger Maris. So obviously that's pretty dang good. Right now he's on pace for 61 home runs. Are you invested in him making a run at Aaron Judge, or are you like, he plays for one of our division rivals, so not really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm perfectly okay with him. This is interesting, Kevin, because whenever McGuire and Griffey and Sosa, back in the day when they were doing this, I had never seen like that kind of run.
Sure.
And now here we are years later.
Almost.
I've experienced that, you know, 60 home runs more often than I ever thought I would.
Yeah.
So I'm not as like,
now you're sort of desensitized.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. And that's unfortunate because it's a really cool thing. Maybe if somebody is to really hit 80, that would be something that would really get me my juices going. But it is cool. I just want his team to fail. So
okay.
Hit all the home runs you want in losses, and I'm okay with that.
Now, this
also want Aaron Judge's team to fail too.
Agreed. This next one is unfortunate because it's another division team. Nick Kurtz is having one of the most insane rookie seasons in the history of baseball. He plays for the A's. He has 27 home runs this year, 70 RBIs. His OPS is 1.034.
Jeez.
Exactly. The only qualifying rookies since World War II with an OPS of 1.0 or higher, Albert Pujols and Aaron Judge. That's it. So like two surefire, no doubt, Hall of Famers are the only ones who have done this in the last 80 years or so.
He's doing what we expected Wyatt to do last year.
I have to admit, there have been some times where I have thought about
saying to Wyatt, why can't you be Nick Kurtz?
I mean, or just you want him to be there. And the thing is, he seems to be getting better as the season goes along, which is kind of crazy. His on-base percentage since the All-Star break, I think, is like 475. So it's not a case of he's slowing down, hitting the rookie wall, or anything like that. If anything, he's getting better. He's getting stronger. Now, the run that he's going to need to have the rest of the way is he's going to pretty much need to play every single game, get every conceivable at-bat to qualify, because I believe you have to have 502 at-bats to qualify. Excuse me, 502 plate appearances. So he's going to need to play in all of these games. He's going to need to be hitting his, you know, four at-bats per game if he's going to have a shot at qualifying. But that aside, it's a preposterously impressive rookie season for Nick Kurtz.
Yeah, man. It's like, why didn't we draft him? You know, is kind of where we are. Why did they get him?
You know,
that's, I'm jealous at this point.
I'll look into
this
that.
This team needs some runs.
Okay.
You know, like, that's the thing.
Yeah. All right.
Congratulations to him and whatever team he eventually gets traded to.
Oh, man.
Dude, you know that's going to happen.
Oh,
you know that's going to happen.
You are right. You are right. And then also, are you invested in Paul Skeens making a run at a Cy Young? But also this, through 50 starts, Paul Skeens has the second lowest ERA in the live ball era. Now, if you go with anything in the live ball era, that's how you know it's been a really long ass time. Right? That's a good way to put it, isn't it?
I would say so, Kevin.
In the history of the Pirates, only two pitchers have ever won the Cy Young. Do you want to try to name one of them? Because you'll never get the other one.
Andy Van Slyke. He was an outfielder.
He was not a pitcher. When I tell you the name, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember him. Doug Drabek.
Oh, Doug Drabek. I remember him.
In 1990. And then the person that I would not have gotten, Kyle Yeomans.
Dude, that it's not makes a lot of sense.
It's not Kyle Yeomans.
Hey, Kevin, did we not? We didn't draft Nick Kurtz because we drafted Malcolm Moore 30th because we won the World Series.
Is that what happened?
We were 30th. He was 4th. Okay, so we didn't. Well, I don't know if we had a chance.
That doesn't feel like we were particularly to really draft close him at all. I don't think we should drag Malcolm Moore's name into this. It doesn't feel like we were really close whatsoever. The other one is Vern Law in 1960, which
Mr. I am the law.
Yeah. No to that. Alec, you can see it on his face.
Are you sure that Vern Law didn't run around saying that?
Yes.
I am the law.
I am convinced that that did not happen. He was not aware of Judge Dredd or anything like that.
That doesn't mean that he didn't run around saying, I am the law. Judge Dredd could have gotten that from Vern Law.
Okay, then I feel like he's owed some royalties. Right now, Paul Skeens, in his first 50 starts, he has an ERA of 2.02. The only one better since 1920 is Vida Blue at 2.01.
Love Vida Blue.
So Paul Skeens is in rarefied air.
Yeah.
I think his life's pretty good right now, right?
Kevin, from the 6'8", yeah, considering all the other things that are going on and off the field for him. From the 6'8", buy Nick Kurtz cards. I think you should sell low right now on those cards.
Sell low. They're pretty high right now.
Yeah, no, I think you should just undersell the market to me.
To Corey.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
And then I'll oversell those to Mike and split the profits with you.
And that's the tough part about all of this is a lot of times because of the prospecting world and cards, these cards have already been really jacked up. Like, we talked about it. By the time Wyatt Langford made it to the major leagues, he needed to start winning MVPs or else you're like, man, I don't know. Some of these cards, they feel a little bit high. All right, got a couple more. Maybe I'll save the Rangers schedule notes.
I dare you to save them.
Okay. They did agree to a minor league deal with utility man Dylan Moore, who has not been good this year, but maybe he can turn it around. And I believe it's like 189 batting average. Feels like that could be a DH for us. And then also for the Cardinals, Wilson Contreras got suspended 6 games by MLB for his bat toss meltdown against the Pirates. Not as many as the 10-game suspension that we talked about maybe the last week.
Yeah.
Because it did not feel like maybe as violent of a throw, I guess, is the direction that they go. But, yeah, 6-game suspension for Wilson Contreras. With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do a little NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.